And good morning. That was 1010. And thank you so much for being here this morning for episode 16 of Coffee with the Coder. I'm sorry I drowned part of your words out, Paula. I know we'll get back to that in just a minute. We are eager to get started with these questions that we have this week and to introduce you to Coffee with the Coder. So thanks for joining us, all of those of you who are new. We're going to jump right in. This question comes from Memphis, from an inpatient rehab facility, which we call an IRF. And Ramona asks, you're also differentiating between an inpatient rehab and acute hospital coding. But here's Ramona's question. I have a patient with diabetes, PVD, and gangrene who had a right above the knee amputation. The etiologic diagnosis code is E10.52, which includes all of those diagnoses. He should have tiered as a level 3 because of the diabetes with complications. Do I need to get the coder to code those separately so I can use them as comorbidities? This is the first time I've encountered this. Usually these patients have enough tiering comorbidities to go around. And also, does the coder have to include the separate gangrene code in the coding even though it goes against the UB04 rule? So that's really two questions.
Okay, good morning, Pam. Thanks for that question. It's one we've certainly seen that causes some issues. Guys, you have to understand here that the answer needs to be discussed from two angles. The inpatient rehab facility coding for the IRFPI, which is the document that sets the payment rate for IRF services, and the UB04 coding, which is what all acute hospital coders think of when reporting diagnoses. The IRFPI manual goes against ICD-10 rules, and both the gangrene with diabetes and PVD, which is E10.52, and gangrene code I-96, are reported as the etiologic diagnosis, so there will be two of them. The manual states that to report the gangrene, also use an additional code to identify the underlying disease, so that would be the diabetes in this case. We think that this was probably inadvertently left in from the ICD-9 rules, but we're going to follow it until changes have been made to the manual. This is not consistent with the UB04 rules, so coding for the claim form, which acute hospital coders are familiar with, would be reported differently. However, if the patient had uncontrolled glucose documented by the physician or another diabetes manifestation, those would also be reported. And you can see page 28 of Section 6 of the IRFPI manual and page 30 for rules on reporting etiologic. So in this case, yes, the gangrene code would be the first listed code in the etiologic field on the IRFPI, with the diabetes combo code second. However, the gangrene would not be reported on the UB04. You'd only be using that combo code for the diabetes, which would be listed as E10.52.
Thank you, Heather. Boy, this is fun to have more than one of you today. Let me just move over to Memphis into another inpatient rehab where Deborah has a question. This one also is coming from an acute rehab, but the answer is also going to apply to acute inpatient hospital coding. So here's Deborah's question. Hi, I had a case today that the person had a BMI of 34.04. Morbid obesity was documented throughout the chart. As this is a rehab account, I don't want to assign a tier code, such as E66.01, that isn't valid. And then she says, here is a copy of the rehab member's note to me. I've looked at several coding clinics and couldn't find one that seemed to address this particular issue. I appreciate your help. Thanks. From what I understand, morbid obesity doesn't solely rely on BMI, but it can also be diagnosed according to the patient's body habitus.
And Pam, this is Paula. I'm going to jump in. Heather and I are sort of tag-teaming today on these questions. And these questions are ones that you probably have heard on some of the previous Coffee with the Coder issues because they get asked weekly. We want to keep bringing them back, but, you know, we do bring in new questions as well. This is another question that we get so many requests to answer. For those of you who do not understand inpatient rehab coding who are on the call today, so maybe you're new and you haven't ever coded for rehab or inpatient rehab, morbid obesity increases the payment amount for Medicare inpatient rehab encounters. So it's sort of like if you're coding on the acute hospital side, a CC or an MCC. However, rather than the actual BMI causing the payment increase, as it would, you know, give us that CC or MCC, it's the diagnosis of morbid obesity as the caller or as the person who is requesting the answer, asking the question, sorry, I couldn't get that out, was relating to the E6601. It's the morbid obesity that allows the increase. We've talked about this, but just want to refer you back to a document that was published by the National Institute of Health. It indicates that a patient with a BMI of 40 or higher or a patient with a BMI of 35 or higher with certain comorbidities is considered clinically morbidly obese. Remember, this applies for inpatient rehab and the UB04 acute hospital coding. There's an article in the National Institute of Health website that explains in detail the diagnosis of morbid obesity, and I'll provide that link in just a few minutes. The article indicates that there are certain diagnoses that could be considered obesity-related. These conditions include things like diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea, osteoarthritis of weight-bearing joints, or hypertension, and it also includes waist circumference. These conditions, when linked to the obesity in a patient with a BMI of 35 or greater, can provide support for the morbid obesity diagnosis. However, just because a patient has a BMI of 35 or more, or we can't automatically, as coders, assume that we can report that diagnosis of morbid obesity based solely on the number. The ability, of course, to code the condition would be dependent on that physician documentation. So it would be an opportunity. You really need to read that article from the National Institute of Health, and it would be an opportunity for querying that physician if it looked like the patient had that information, you know, had those particular conditions to get that definitive diagnosis. It's also going to be a place, because it's such a change in the way that we had reported, you know, the BMI 40 being an automatic morbid, not, well, I say it was morbidly obese, but we couldn't code it. We still needed to query them. But it's a change in thought process of what the diagnosis of morbid obesity actually is. So it's going to be a situation where you need to educate that physician. So the physician would need to indicate that the patient was morbidly obese and that the conditions were related. The link to that National Institute of Health document is www.nhl, as in Lamar, B as in boy, I, dot N as in Nancy, I as in ice, H as in happy, .gov, /files, F-I-L-E-S, /docs, D as in dog, O, C as in Charlie, S as in Sam, /guidelines, /P as in Patricia, R as in ready, C as in Charlie, T as in Tom, G as in good, D as in dog, _, C as in Charlie, dot P as in Paul, D as in dog, F as in Frank. Pam, I know I read that pretty fast, so if you wouldn't mind, after this call, when you do post the recording of this episode, if you would also attach that link to this call, that way folks can just click on it and download it, and you can tell people how to find that link.
Absolutely. I'll be sure and post it with today's session, which will be up shortly. Now, I know we're about out of time, but do you think I can squeeze in one more?
We can try, because I think this other last question we have is not a very long one. It takes longer to read than it does to answer.
Okay. So, all right. Well, I'll stick with that. Yes. It's another inpatient rehab focus. Today we had lots of those. And this one is specific only to inpatient rehab. It does not apply to acute hospital or to other coding settings. It's from Susan in Indiana, and it's short and sweet. Even though it takes a little while to read it. The patient is coded as impairment 4.130 with etiologic of G93.5 compression of brain. Just prior to the rehab admission, the patient had a suboccipital craniotomy, complete C1 decompression, partial C3 decompression, had previous back surgeries at L4, L5 with disc compression on the spinal canal. No evidence of continued compression. Admitted with foot drop, monoplegia of left lower limb, monoplegia of right lower limb. And there we have it.
Okay, well, Heather and I may go back and forth on this one. The answer really is it appears that even though the surgery involved the work on the cord the primary focus was to relieve the pressure on the brain. So, and there were no residuals at all in the description that Susan gave us for having any spinal cord residuals. So I would go with non-traumatic brain as the impairment group, unless there were residuals created from the surgery that caused the patient's care to be focused on the spine. I agree that the etiologic would also remain or could actually change depending on what the physician documented. So there is a there's some information on the web that you can look up on Chiari malformations, and that describes the malformation that this patient has, which, again, describes it as a non-traumatic brain issue and looking at an impairment group of non-traumatic brain rather than spinal cord. And, again, that's where the care focused with things going on with the brain, not the cord. So that's it, Pam.
Thank you, thank you. Now, while you've been talking, I've been stirring up these names that I've put in my proverbial hat on my desk. So we are going to award a winner of a mugging today. And it is going to be Ramona. And let me go back and see where Ramona's from. Ramona's from Memphis. So congratulations, Ramona. We'll be reaching out to you today and finding out where to mail your Coffee with Dakota mug. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. That wraps up episode 16. We look forward to hearing you in 2 weeks on episode 17. And, of course, if you check out the website, you can be notified that the session will be coming up.